The woke mind virus has struck again.
Oh, no.
And this time, lightning has struck in the same place twice.
No way.
Because M&Ms have gone woke again. Can you believe it?
M&Ms. Well, I mean, we might as well roll the Tucker Carlson clip to sort of...
Yeah, let's just get into
lead
it.
Lead us
let's
into just it, because we can play clips now.
Yeah, let's hear them out.
Let's hear them.
Okay, M&Ms have returned. Fuck. The green M&M got her boots back, but apparently is now a lesbian, maybe? And there's also a plus-sized, obese, purple M&M.
So no! We're
gonna cover that, of course, because that's what we do.
One, it's like, he sounds so defeated. Yeah. After getting viciously dragged through the mud after his
almost a year ago,
green M&M.
Almost a year ago.
That was almost a year ago?
I was looking back at old clips while I was searching for evidence to exonerate my friend Tucker Carlson here. And yeah, his clip and Gutfeld's clip from last time around when the go-go boots were taken off.
Uh-huh.
That was January like 22nd of 2022.
Damn.
Almost a year ago. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It feels like yesterday.
I know.
It really does.
Because we covered that on the show.
That's such a moment. But now, one, Tucker Carlson sounds so defeated. And two, the green M&M's fuckable again. However, it doesn't fucking matter because now she's gay.
The green M&M's
and now
is fucking
I don't
gay.
Have a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a chance. So what does it fucking matter?
I love how this has just come back around to I want to fuck the green M&M again. And you know Tucker is so angry that they had it pop up on his transcript on his show again because he's like, God damn it. Like last time around,
He sounds so defeated because he saw the go-go boots and he got excited. Right?
Yeah.
And then he saw that she was gay and he's like, fuck!
That's absolutely what he did.
What am I supposed to do now?
I think we got more clips on deck.
We got a lot more clips now. There's the Tucker Carlson clip. I didn't even know that this was a show on Fox. This
Outnumbered?
One's like a 2-minute clip. It's called Outnumbered.
Yep, yep.
It's got like four Fox female hosts and one dude that's called like the lucky guy. Corny as hell.
It's really weird.
It's definitely weird. Here's the clip from that. Some right. good sound bites that come out of this one.
Together and go to the beach. And go, I mean, that's not what we're doing right now.
Exactly.
But anyway, a purple M&M has added was added to push acceptance and inclusivity. Ooh. Okay. When you look at the package, the women are upside down.
Okay,
and
pause
I understand
it. Pause.
Okay, okay, okay.
But thank you.
So the thing here is like flipping the status quo, right? Like that's what's on the package. And I love how in their clips and also like in the Ben Shapiro and all the other clips, people don't understand. It's just a metaphor.
Yeah.
Because they'll get into it in just a second. They're like, oh, so why are women weirdly standing upside down? Is that you think women do? It's like, brother, come on. It's so stupid.
Oh, anyway. You think women just stand upside down all the time?
Why are we on the ceiling? Oh, I'm glad we're on the ceiling.
Pretty much we stand on our own. Yeah. We don't need to be shown on a package looking crazy upside down.
Stupid.
I mean, if this is what you need for validation, an M&M that is a color that you think is associated with feminism, then I'm worried about you. I think this is the kind of thing
that's the crazy thing. Nobody needs anything like this for validation.
No, not at all.
It's just a thing that a company did. And we talk about this so often. It's just a thing that a company did to get like woke points.
Yeah.
Like genuinely to get woke points so that they're it's a marketing thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not genuine. It doesn't fucking mean anything. And the craziest thing about this is I'm gonna assume that this is only on like the one package. Like
oh yeah,
the standard M&M's package, right?
I think there's a couple versions.
Oh.
One that's got nuts in them, as Ben Shapiro made
we'll
a joke
get to
about.
That clip, though.
Well, yeah, it's just like it's just one specialty package that Mars is doing because they want to piss off conservatives and get liberals to buy their product. Because unfortunately, as we all know, we live in like a liberal culture, right?
Yeah.
Like the culture is very liberal, right?
Yeah.
It's focused on progressive movements, but never the actual substance of what would need to be done to make those movements exist in reality. And conservatives hate that.
Mm-hmm.
And people further left obviously don't like it because it's like, well, this is meaningless. But this is like the world that we live in, right? It's a liberal culture. And this is what companies do to get liberals' attention because there's more liberals to buy things than conservatives.
So funny. And it's funny how much they are staking on this one fucking small, minuscule issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this, it means nothing.
And it's like, it's a liberal culture in the sense that like, not that like Jews run the world, but in the sense that it's just like, yeah, companies appeal to liberal consumers because those are the people that are going out and buying products like female M&Ms.
Because there are more liberals
exactly.
in the country.
Exactly.
And I'm sure they do their demographic research and see that, oh, more liberals tend to buy whatever.
There's always this like go woke, go broke mentality that conservatives like to adopt.
Uh-huh.
Like when they see, you know, like all the female Avengers line up in Endgame, they're like, oh, go woke, go broke. It's like, that's one of the highest grossing movies ever.
Yeah.
Like it's not a real thing.
No.
It's silly.
No,
it's
absolutely silly. Not. Let's get back to the clip.
find us say like, oh, good, keep focusing on that. Keep focusing on giving people their own color M&Ms.
I'll go back. Okay.
I mean,
I'll go back.
If this is what you need for validation, an M&M that is a color that you think is associated with feminism, then I'm worried about you. I think this is the kind of thing that makes China say like, oh, good, keep focusing on that. Keep focusing on giving people their own color M&Ms while we, you know, take over all of the mineral deposits in the entire world.
Okay, that's pause it. There's no policy decision being made here. She makes it seem as though Joe Biden is the one that's like, yeah, we need a trans M&M on
Joe
the cover.
Joe Biden went to Mars. He went to the Mars headquarters and said, hold up.
Yeah, it's so stupid. I can't even offer commentary.
No, it's absurd. It's so fucking funny. And it's like also just positions us as if this is the only thing that's happening. This is the only thing that's happening. We're not ramping up our defense budget year over year.
Right.
The only thing we're focused on is girl M&M.
Yeah, exactly.
Without commentary and coffee without Latin.
Oh, then this guy makes a joke that doesn't make any sense.
I don't want a venti, I want a grande, I want a small, medium, or large.
And then they take one.
I don't know about you guys, but when I
outsmarted by a congressman.
Wow. I feel like I'm there.
When I was a young girl, I was like, when I grow up, I want to be the purple M&M. So that was...
No, I'm joking.
When I look at M&Ms, I'm just like, I'm going to eat them. It's going to taste delicious. This is ridiculous. But to Martha's point, but China's also pushing all this through TikTok. But anyway.
I love how this is the thing. The female M&Ms is what conservatives get mad about, but not Mars doing actual child labor. No. Like with Nestle and Hershey's and other chocolate companies. Like, this is what you care about. Is there being female-coded characters on a package and not a company doing actual child labor?
And
it's
because China is pushing this through TikTok.
Oh yeah, because China is scary. That's
exactly
why.
That's the gas that we had to get to.
They're really
this
just
one.
Throwing everything in there.
Now,
it's fun.
Probably my favorite clip, friend of the show Nick Adams.
All right.
Right? I did not know how Australian this man was, but
get ready.
We're gonna play it. We're gonna play it.
G'day guys, Nick Adams here. I want to speak about M&Ms. I want to speak about Mars, the company behind M&Ms. M&Ms have just released feminist M&Ms. Yes, you heard me right. Feminist M&Ms. Egregious sexism of the worst and most conceivable kind. It is outrageous. It is disgusting.
It's men's rights guys. Like Nick, I wouldn't even say Nick Adams is like a men's rights activist. He just gets on Twitter just like shit posts. I don't know how to describe what he does, but he always talks about like alpha males and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said it right there in his own words that this is the most egregious act of sexism you could ever commit against a man.
Yeah.
How does anyone look at Nick Adams like seriously?
Yeah.
When you have like other like both shitty men's rights activists and genuine people who care about like just issues talking about like, oh, males kill themselves more, things like that.
Yeah.
No.
Men's
it's
mental
the
health.
M&Ms.
Men's mental health is wildly ignored in this country.
Yeah.
And that's a real issue we need to deal with. No, it's M&Ms not having the men on the packaging for once.
Exactly.
That's so
and
stupid.
It's like so funny because to get there, you have to recognize that like, oh, I'm not being resented. I'm not represented. I'm not seeing myself up there with everyone else, but I should be the only group represented.
Yeah.
And women and minorities just eat shit, kind of.
This is like the most culture war thing I think I've ever
seen. It's so funny.
That's so good.
And it must not stand. That is why I am calling for a complete and total boycott of all things Mars
and
particularly M&Ms. It will not stand. Let me say this loudly. Let me say this clearly. Let me say this unambiguously. Any male that buys a packet of M&Ms from today forward must hand in their man card because they are a soft,
card.
Beta male feminist who has serious, serious problems. Until M&Ms rectify this grave wrong by giving us all male M&Ms, this boycott...
Isn't that, like, mostly what it is?
That's what I was
like,
thinking.
Like, aren't most M&M packages just the red and yellow one?
That's what I was thinking, because, like, the peanut ones are just the yellow guy.
It's just the yellow dude.
And nobody cares.
That's
it's a corporate character that someone came up with, like, on the 72nd level of some high-rise in New York. Like, who cares? Nobody cares.
Yeah, most M&M packages are all male M&M packages. Mm-hmm. The fucking pretzel dude, the blue one, it's just him up there.
Why do we have to know this? Why do we have to know this information.
I'm up on my M&M's lore.
True.
And then he takes a pack of M&M's that he had to buy. Mm-hmm. Like, he had to buy this pack of M&M's with his own money and throws it on the ground outside and stomps on it.
So good.
That's funny. And then to finish this one off here, I guess we've got the Ben Shapiro clip.
Ooh, the Ben take. Let's hear
Bro's it. Just, he's, it's like he's doing a stand-up set. He just rattles off some jokes here.
Yeah, prepare yourself.
Getting afraid there. I'm glad that at least some of these M&Ms will have nuts to represent the transgender community.
Jesus Christ.
So we have to ensure that some of the M&Ms are actual trans women. We wouldn't want these to be cisgender M&Ms.
Oh my God.
I like how he goes and explains the joke after that, too.
Yeah. Like we got it, dog.
Come on. Like, it's fairly obvious.
So good news. Some of the female M&Ms will, in fact, have nuts.
Good news.
The move is the latest in a series of marketing moves M&M's has made to promote inclusivity. Its previous announcements involved the introduction of the purple female M&M, who represents body positivity and self-acceptance. Well, I'm sure M&M would love people to accept body positivity because you eat enough of them and you get fat. That's what they are. They are a candy.
God. This like dude has so much vitriol in his
heart.
He's
taking a principled stance against candy here.
Yeah.
Early in 2022, Mars announced it would alter its mascots to reflect the more dynamic, progressive world we live in. Saying the refreshed M&M's brand will include a more modern take on the looks.
It's like, you know for a fact that if Mars as a company came out against trans people and was like, we only have real women on our packaging, they would eat that shit up immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
They would love it.
Absolutely. All of this would be fantastic.
That's the thing is like, we're the only like morally consistent actors here. Me and us, just us two. We're the only morally, because it's like, then we would also criticize it like, this is just a stunt to get more people to buy the product. Uh-huh. And liberals would get mad and conservatives would be like, ha, look at the triggered liberals. But this time it's just flipped. That's all it is.
Because it doesn't matter coming from a corporation. All they care about is making money. Mm-hmm. They're just going to do whatever it is to get them the most money.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is when it comes to this whole like feminist M&Ms or the fuckable M&Ms, it's like the only method through which people can really express themselves culturally within capitalism is consuming. Yeah. Right. And that's really good for capitalism because it means you're spending money. But I think it's pretty bad for people because I think we have higher order needs, things like community, things like actually being able to use our creativity and reap the benefits of that. But within capitalism, we are so alienated from everything that we create that the only real method of expression for who we are as people is through what we buy.
Yeah.
And I just think that's an awful thing in general, and that is a Marxist critique to fuckable M&Ms.
And also, it's just, like, I'll just reiterate what we've been saying. Every other thing is all male anyway.
Yeah.
Like, every other branded thing has pretty much an all-male ensemble, or it's an all-male and one-girl ensemble who is only there to exist in relation to the man anyway.
And that's what the green M&M was.
That's it. It's the Smurfette principle. She is only there to exist in relation to the men to appease diversity standards. And then, you add the second girl in the ensemble so that I know everybody catch on, but it's still a male-dominated thing.
And I don't know if it gets to this. Does it get to the face tattoo syndrome in the Ben Shapiro clip? Do you know?
No. I don't think so.
Okay, so at one point in this video, Ben Shapiro brings up the face tattoo syndrome, right?
Okay.
And he says this is the concept that when, you know, you're in a public space and you see someone with a face tattoo and you keep staring at them because you think it looks weird, people get mad at you for staring and not mad at the guy for having the face tattoo. And he said that's the same thing here.
Yeah, no, what?
Exactly. He said that's the same thing here because you're noticing that it's only women on the packaging and they're mad at you and not the corporate executives or whatever for putting the women on the packaging. And it's like, yeah, you don't have a right to like criticize what someone does with their own body in terms of like a face tattoo.
Yeah.
You just leave them alone and let them do whatever they want.
You don't have a right to just fucking stare at someone in the middle of like a line.
And then it's doubly true with this M&M's thing in terms of Ben Shapiro's ideology, because he fully supports corporations doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
This is the free market. This is them deciding through whatever means they have, whatever market analysis they're using. They are deciding that having women on their M&M packaging will bring them more profit. And he should be happy about that because that's capitalism.
Fucking insane. In this clip, he just keeps rattling off the bad jokes.
All right, bad.
Get worse and worse.
So that's exciting. Yeah. Mars Wrigley, North America Chief Marketing Officer Gabrielle Wesley explained the move. Quote, women all over the world are flipping how they define success and happiness while challenging the status quo. So we are thrilled to be able to recognize and celebrate them. And who better to help us on that mission than our own powerhouse spokes candies, green, brown, and purple.
Oh, we're going to flip them upside down on the package. It's
so
just moving. A circle jerk.
Yeah. So incredible.
Just criticize it.
So unbelievably stupid. So women, do you feel represented now because of the green, purple, and brown M&Ms on the M&M package that you're guzzling down lonely in your apartment with your wine and your cash? How's that going for you?
This dude hates women.
Amazing, amazing. But at least you feel represented. That's the important thing. honestly, I'm mostly just happy because if it's an all female M&M, I assume that it costs 77 cents on the dollar of what the regular M&M's would cost,
Boo.
Right? That's how this works.
Tomato, tomato.
The
also,
next one is worse.
Do not ask the female M&M's for directions.
Corny.
It's just not going to go particularly well.
Oh, man. They put corn in those M&M's. God damn. Ben Shapiro is such a bad comedian.
God, it's so good.
The only one that was funny was the nuts one, but only because we're laughing at Ben Shapiro,
exactly.
Not because he's making an actual
joke. You throw enough
joke.
Shit at the wall, some of it is bound to stick.
Only,
you know?
Only because it's hilarious to hear him like basically making fun of himself.
But the one that was part that was genuinely funny isn't funny because he's making a joke. It's funny just because of how much he hates
how
women.
How stupid he is.
It's
yeah.
funny because he goes, while you're guzzling down your M&Ms while drinking your wine and sitting with your cats because you're a lonely fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, Ben.
He's so awful. Anyways, M&M's are still no longer fuckable. We're just reporting our yearly report of the fuckability of M&M's.
You sure about that? Hello, guys. Welcome back to End the Office.
We've got a loaded episode for you all.
I'm here with me, Gage, and Jeremy here.
That's right. We've got a loaded episode for you all, but welcome back to Head in the Office. In all seriousness, welcome back to the show. We're going to remind you all at the top always. And you know what? Not a reminder. I'm imploring. Deciding.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to go do this right now.
I'm compelling you to.
In the description at the moment,
yeah.
You can go and check out our Patreon. YouTube,
that's right.
TikTok, Instagram. We got merch on the store. You can become a part of the community and really help support the show. We just hit our recent goal for our Q&A episode, and we're actually recording that right after we record
that's
this.
Right.
So if you're just an average listener, not a patron, by the time you listen to this, the Q&A will be available for our patrons.
That's right.
So
not for you yet, though.
Not for you yet, though.
But eventually it'll come in like another week.
Yeah. So you might want to check it out so you can get in on this Q&A nonsense.
If you ask a question, you got to know if it's been answered.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, hit it.
And it's going to be like if I could just, you know, throw my sight into the future real quick, it's going to be a banger. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying, that's too. I'm saying. I read through the questions in preparation. There's some crazy ones on
there. But you normie hiddo listeners, by the time you hear this, it's out. You know, it's available for our beautiful, beautiful patrons. Mm-hmm. So go and check that out. Another way you can help the show, though, is by leaving us a 5-star review or, as we've come up with our alternative method, you can send us a 5-star review on Instagram if you don't have access to Apple, which is fine.
Or your reviews aren't showing up.
It's acceptable. We'd prefer the 5-star on Apple.
Exactly.
Because it helps us within the system.
We'd prefer you go and make an iTunes account to give us the 5-star review on Apple, but whatever.
We've got two Apple 5-star reviews, and do you know if we have any
Yeah,
any
I got
Instagram
an Instagram
ones?
One right here.
All right, so we'll start off with these Apple ones. We got 10 out of 10, thebomb.com, baby, by Heaven West. They say, as a Floridian, I was not surprised we won the worst state in the Hiddo Awards. Standing in line at the midterms was like hanging out at a retirement home. I love hearing like-minded young people talk about what is actually going on today and not the crazy stuff that Fox plants into their brains. Keep up the great work. Hopefully, I can afford to be a patron one day. I hope so, too.
Lucky. Yeah, I hope so, too. I really hope so.
For your sake, not for mine, I swear. It's a wholly selfless endeavor, that one.
Lucky, I think that's how the midterms were everywhere, though. By virtue of being the midterms, I'm pretty sure I was the youngest person that walked into that building when I went and voted this
November.
See,
I'm an absentee voter, so I wouldn't know.
Wow.
I'd be sending my vote in early and on time. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Our second 5-star from Apple, though, is Not Alone by Zeroth. They say, when viewing American politics, it's very easy to feel shocked, disgusting, and most important, isolated. The simultaneously rapid and slow decline into fascism makes you feel like you're screaming into a hurricane. The Head in the Office podcast is a valuable resource for combating that isolation. The Hiddo Boys have crafted a welcoming podcast and community for leftists to get together and assure one another that we are not alone and we all see the madness. TLDR, apes together strong.
Apes together strong.
I look forward to seeing their voice grow large enough and loud enough for them to sell out one day. All the best. And
me
we
too.
Will.
I'm looking. And I'm also looking forward to that, hopefully.
And that's why this episode is brought to you by M&M's.
Guys, if you didn't know, M&M's are flipping the script on representation.
That's right. We put podcasters on top. And if you want to be on top, go buy yourself a pack of M&M's.
Because Jeremy and Gage are flipping the script when it comes to leftist podcasts. We put them upside down on a package of M&M. And don't worry, they have nuts.
And just don't look at their cocoa farming process, please,
yes.
For the love of God.
Yeah, yeah, for real, for real. For the last review, we've got a longtime patron, first-time reviewer, Kaz.
Okay.
Is Kaz a patron?
I think so.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Kaz is a patron. Mm-hmm. Early shout out. Warm-blooded American, 5-star review. That's what I like to see. I've been with the pod since the episode Socialism is Win No House. Wasn't that like episode 8?
That's like episode 8, yeah.
That's crazy.
Something like that. That was a banger.
When I found your TikTok and started listening, it's just good to know that I'm not the only one who can't stand the bozos in power. Can't wait to keep up the parasocial relationships with my favorite boys. Let's go.
Yeah, true. Just a quick thing about parasocial relationships.
Yeah.
There were people in our Discord talking about wanting to do like community nights and stuff again. So if you want to be a part of that,
true.
Check out the Discord.
Because we want to. I know we've been saying this for a while, but we do. We do want to. We're just busy.
I think we're developing a reputation for saying we're going to do things, and then it just doesn't happen. Like having guests on the show. We've been saying that for like months now.
Oh.
And it's going to happen soon.
It's happening?
It's going to happen soon. We don't know when exactly.
It's
yet,
happening.
It's going to happen soon.
That's all
very,
we got
very
so
soon.
Far.
When it happens, you'll know because you'll see it.
It's quite literally in the works right now. But
exactly.
Like for real, we're actually talking to someone.
And now before we get into our news coverage that we have laid out in the show for you all today, I do want to mention one thing.
Oh, we got to touch on some
online
some
drama.
News that broke. Last week, we were all up and we were all excited because we had got the speaker vote in on Saturday night so we could get it on Sunday. We're like, oh my God, the news cycle was complete this week. Nothing crazy is going to happen between Monday and Wednesday. The gap between when the episode drops for the patrons and actual episode goes up.
You know, we said things are really taking a turn for the better for the left.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
We were gassing ourselves up. And then tangentially, we went on to start talking about Andrew Callahan and his new documentary.
And like trigger warning. Trigger warning for like topics of sexual assault.
Yeah. We started talking about Andrew Callahan and the NPR interview he did about like Alex Jones. And the interviewer was pressing him for some dumb shit. And we're like, well, I guess he gets a pass for sitting with Alex Jones.
Uh-huh.
That's the only pass he gets.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I need to emphasize that is the only pass he gets. We said he was a good dude. I'm formally taking that back.
Yeah,
formally rescinding that.
I redact my previous statement about Andrew Callahan getting a pass. Because for those of you that haven't seen, he has been publicly accused of sexual assault and rape by several people
and
at this point.
And publicly admitted to it.
And yeah, he's publicly admitted to it through Ethan Klein, I think.
Yeah.
One of his friends. So he's come out about doing some pretty awful things, things like, you know, constantly pressuring and coercing people to have sex with him, getting them to drink alcohol. So obviously their decision-making ability is malfunctioning, and all terrible, terrible things.
Yeah.
Obviously concepts like consent are not thoroughly discussed enough, especially with young men. And it's really sad to see someone that was so, I don't even know if he's like fully on the left, but someone that had really made some great content.
Facts.
Also just turned out to be a really awful person behind the scenes.
Overall,
it's really
bad
awful.
Person. Yeah, because consent really isn't talked about enough.
Not
and
at all.
It's also not like these allegations are, anonymous and isolated,
right.
Which doesn't take anything away from those, but there are multiple allegations coming forth with like the same tactics that he used, and everything adds up, and he admitted to it, and it's bad. It's a history of abuse that was crafted sort of just all of a sudden in a couple days against this guy.
And it's like if we on the left always want to say like we have to believe every woman, believe every well, just in general, believe every person that comes forward with a story about sexual assault, then we can't get rid of that principle when it benefits us.
Yeah.
And it has to apply even when people that are ostensibly on our side or people that, you know, make content that seems to benefit the left or just point out how insane the right wing is in this country. So, yeah, it's really sad to see. It's wildly disappointing. And I wouldn't be upset with anybody or even surprised if anybody was like, yeah, I never want to see Andrew Callahan again. He doesn't deserve a platform anymore because it's a terrible thing to do. And it's just, it's unfortunately all too common.
I have no fucking interest in watching that documentary
anymore
now too.
Exactly.
I was scrolling on HBO Max last night. Cause I was like, I was looking for something. Cause I was thinking about watching something instead of doing my homework. And I saw the documentary and I was just like, damn, bro, come on. Come on. And it sucks because consent definitely isn't talked about enough. Like, cause the only, I guess, times you really talk about consent are if you yourself are seeking it out online.
Right.
If you're looking to educate yourself about consent.
You get maybe like 10 minutes about it in sex ed class during eighth grade.
Barely any in like the high school sex ed shit that you do, unless it's abstinence only sex ed.
And you never talk about anything. It's in the context of abstinence only sex education, which already skews how you view consent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're teaching abstinence only and you already have these desires, then what you understand is consent to yourself is already going to be, I don't know, shifted or schismed, I guess.
You're not talking about the nuances of consent in an abstinence only sex ed class. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And even when you you go on to like college, if you did go on to college, like at MSU, every year we had to do like an hour, freshman year and sophomore year, we had to do like an hour long class about like sexual assault, relationship violence, and harassment training.
Yeah.
And it was like, it wasn't bad. Like it was fine.
Step, yeah.
It says all of the things that you need to hear, but it's not nearly enough. And when you're forced to do it, like you are, like it's a thing that you had to schedule outside of your class. Nobody wants to fucking go.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to be there. So nobody's really paying attention. No one's taking anything in and learning all these things that are so important. Because like what happened with the Drew Callahan situation? And I'm only bringing it up because I hear people online like defending it.
Oh, yes.
In a way is people being like, well, eventually she said yes.
Yeah.
That's not how these things work. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because we all know that if you are slowly coerced into doing something, it's not the same as you actually wanting to do that thing.
If you are like, worn down and pestered and battered into doing something, then it's not the enthusiastic yes that you really need going forward.
And like to make an adjacent comparison, like if you constantly just berated and questioned somebody and like just continuously asked them over and over to like sign some contract and you got them drunk and then had them sign that contract, that wouldn't hold up in a court of law.
That's like, literally illegal.
We would know, like, obviously that is not a legitimate, that's not legitimately them offering their consent to your business deal.
Yeah.
And obviously it's much more high stakes when it comes to sexual interactions because that's traumatizing.
And it's also like, I don't know the legality surrounding like, oh, well, she eventually said yes, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter because we
know. Still immoral.
We understand as people who think critically that it's not good when you wear somebody down. That's not real consent, especially when it's a relationship like a male and a female who didn't really have a relationship before, because no matter what you do, there's a power dynamic in every interaction that you have.
And especially because he was a massive content creator.
Exactly. He's this huge dude. He literally has power and influence outside of just being a man, right? And hear me out. Like there's a cultural expectation of violence when it comes to dealing with men, right?
Yeah.
And women are rightfully scared of that. The studies, 97% of women have a story.
Yeah.
Almost every woman I know has a story. Like, everyone's experienced, like, an uncomfortably violent, like, interaction with a man.
Yeah.
Whether or not the man was doing violence on them, being violent, being angry, being scary, they have. And so when you say no, they get scared. Like, people are scared to say no when they're being constantly pestered.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
And that's why it's on men to create an environment where saying no isn't so scary. You know what I mean? Like you have to, and sometimes you got to go the extra lengths as a dude. If you're a dude listening to this, you got to go the extra lengths to say, it's okay if you don't want to. I will accept no as an answer. Yeah. I'm not going to hurt you or make you feel bad or, you know, talk shit about you to my friends or anything like that. Like you have to go the extra length to create an environment where it feels safe to reject a certain things, because only then can you really respect somebody's autonomy. Because if they feel like they're going to be hurt or be disrespected or be mocked for saying no, then they can't really give their consent to something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even necessarily just the problem here, because obviously there's more to it with the Andrew Callahan stuff, with his fame and his growing wealth and stuff like that. But
generally for your interactions with women, for all of our male listeners, most of our listeners, listeners.
It's difficult to put yourself in that position, right? Because if you're a man, if you've been a cis man your entire life, then you don't understand. There's no way you can understand.
No, you don't get it. Because like, while, a woman could act violent towards you, that's not the norm. There's no cultural expectation. Mm-hmm. There are no expectations of violence when you say no to a woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But those exist when a girl says no to a guy.
Yeah.
And it's very real. And that's, in essence, what, like, male privilege is. And that's what these, like, right-wingers and people who are unwilling to listen to, like, people like Nick Adams.
Yeah.
Who are unwilling to listen to any sort of feminist anything. Any sort of thing that would help women out. People like that need to hear that. That's what male privilege is. Male privilege is not this idea that men have it easier in every aspect of life and every single interaction. It's that, hey, in these specific instances, things are kind of weird. This is something that women think that you don't consider.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, just generally, like I said, it's very disappointing to see Andrew Callahan stuff. I guess there's not really any commentary I can offer outside of what we've already said, but I guess it sucks. That's all it is.
Awful. It really does suck because he was a good content creator.
Yeah, yeah.
Not anymore, though.
What he did was unique. What he did was really good. But, I mean, again, I wouldn't I wouldn't be surprised if everybody was like, yeah, no, this, I can never watch any of this again.
Cause yeah, fact.
I mean, he violated the core principles that are supposed to, at least some of the core principles that are supposed to uphold the left in general, which is like respect for other human beings as human beings. And it's just, I mean, I don't know if the fame went to his head, if this is how he always is, but I mean, this is where we are. So
and it's like, I saw a great comment in a fucking YouTube comment section of all places,
oh,
right?
Nice.
The last place you'd expect to see like intelligent analysis and a good, good comment.
Good discussion.
Yeah, good discussion. And this this person said something like, it's a shame to see a guy who could show so much respect and empathy towards these crazy right-wingers, these Nazis, these Capital Six rioters, but he couldn't show basic empathy to a woman.
Yeah.
Like, and that, yeah.
I mean, it's real, yeah, because, like, that was his whole thing, was analyzing, like, who these people are, why they turned to the right, like, what went wrong in their life to lead them down this path. And he just couldn't, I don't know, that, yeah, that basic empathy couldn't be reflected.
Yeah, because his whole thing was pulling up to these people, these fucking insane, unhinged people, and not, like, making fun of them, just kind of letting them talk, you know, but he couldn't show that same respect to the women in his life.
Yeah, so that's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough.
So that sucks.
Well, that's some bad news to start off the episode.
Oh yeah, time to get into some bad news.
Well, this is bad news, but I think it's more optically interesting.
Exactly.
I guess I would say.
Now it's time to start talking about the culture war.
Now it's time to get back in
exactly
to the culture war. Let's talk about abortion legislation. So as we all know, the Republican House just took a majority and finally elected their speaker, so they are able to now pass legislation. And the first piece of legislation they'd pass, wouldn't you know, is abortion related.
So cool.
It's a law entitled the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. That's quite a mouthful. And it requires that infants born alive during an attempted abortion be given medical assistance to survive, and they must be treated as normal patients by doctors. And I have a quote from ABC here.
Okay.
I have a quote from ABC. They said, quote, under the law, healthcare providers would be required to exercise the same degree of care as they would reasonably be provided to a child born alive at the same gestational age and ensure that child is admitted to a hospital.
Do they think that when, like, a late abortion like that goes wrong, that a doctor just, like, takes his fucking scalpel and stabs the baby?
I guess so.
Is that what they think is going on here?
And here's the thing, right, is you may hear those words, you may see this law and think, okay, like, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, like, that's something that, like, should happen.
Intuitively, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of reasons that this bill is nonsense, okay? And it's just a virtue signal.
Yeah.
And first of all, the vast majority of abortions happen, as we've said before a fetus is ever viable.
Uh-huh.
Only 1% of abortions in 2020 happened after 21 weeks, or less than 1% of abortions happened after 21 weeks. And after that period is when an abortion could be botched, you could imagine, and the fetus then be alive after the abortion is botched.
And almost,
but before that, it couldn't
almost
happen.
All abortions that do happen after that time are for medical necessity.
Exactly.
For the saving the life of the mother, or the baby was never going to be viable anyway.
Yeah. And the second nuance here is, and it's just some more statistics for you. According to ABC, in Minnesota, there were 10,000 abortions in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Only 3 of those cases were abortions where the infant was born alive.
Crazy.
3.
And I bet all 3, that was a miracle that baby was born alive.
Exactly.
Like, a miracle in a good way. Like, nothing's going to happen to it.
And
that's what they wanted.
And even more to that point, between 2003 and 2014, only 143 infants were reported to have died after an abortion was performed.
Mm.
And 97 of those were because of complications with pregnancy.
Yeah.
So this is almost a non-existent problem. This bill attempts to solve a problem that doesn't really exist.
They were trying to talk about this when Roe v. Wade was going on, right? Weren't they trying to say shit about infanticide?
Yeah, it was like adjacent to
you're right.
It wasn't the full issue, but I think they're passing this bill now because it's a virtue signal, especially when you consider that, one, these cases are incredibly rare, where an abortion is botched and the baby comes out alive. And second, it's already illegal to kill a baby.
Real. Like, it makes intuitive sense because it like makes sense for you to not kill the baby if it's already out, and it's already illegal, and there are already processes making sure that you don't do that.
Doctors already cannot kill babies that are alive after birth.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you already can't, because another quote from ABC, quote, the law states that an individual who kills or attempts to kill an infant who was born alive would be subject to prosecution for murder. However, someone who kills an infant would already be subject to prosecution for murder under existing laws.
Like, it's a virtue signal that preys on just gross ignorance.
Yes.
Like, and that's it.
And it preys on your inability to critically think about, like, what they're actually talking about here. Because if a baby is born alive, again, after a botched abortion attempt, then, you can't kill it. Already, you can't kill it. And this bill is just a virtue signal.
And it's like, this isn't a scenario that people usually think about, right? So it's already there to just poison the well mm-hmm. and make people think that, like, oh, I bet they're fucking killing these babies left and right, huh? Right.
And again, according to the data that I just read, it already doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, it basically doesn't happen. It's yeah. so incredibly rare. But also, the point I wanted to make, and the reason I think they're bringing up this bill is, one, it's a virtue signal, right? It's something that they can say, like, oh, we're fighting for unborn fetuses, mm-hmm. you know, we're against abortion. It's something tangible they can do without coming off so extreme as to, say, propose a national abortion ban, for yeah. example. So it's that for them. But also, I think to an extent, if this bill was to go into law, it's to create a sort of chilling effect. Right. It's to yeah, create.
It's to scare you.
It's to scare you and doctors away from performing or attempting to perform abortions, because it's more laws that make it vague and tangle you up in potential prosecution for murder uh-huh. if something goes wrong. And of course, those kinds of laws, as we've talked about, push doctors away from actually administering safe
They're
abortions.
They're very effective.
Exactly.
They're very effective.
Because you're not sure what you'll be prosecuted for. And obviously, mm-hmm. it's already clear that you can't just go and kill babies if they're born.
Mm-hmm.
But by introducing more laws that make it more confusing and more vague, it pushes doctors away from giving actual good medical practice yeah. and procedure to women that need
it. And that's not speculation. If you were here last summer when we were talking about Roe v. Wade, like every week, there were doctors, or not even about Roe v. Wade, just about like abortion bounties.
Yeah.
Like back when Texas bounty passed hunting, their yeah. thing, the abortion bounty hunting. Pharmacies were refusing to dispense methotrexate, an yeah, RA drug, yeah. because it was also used to treat ectopic pregnancies by giving someone an abortion.
Yeah.
So they were refusing to dispense that for even RA patients.
Yeah.
Not even people who, it's just any woman, basically.
And of course there we had the conflation of, well, it wasn't even a conflation. It was just Republicans trying to come up with new terms. Because you remember, yeah. I think around that time when we were talking about medicine that's used to like uh-huh. deal with ectopic pregnancies, people would testify in front of Congress and say like, yeah, that is like scientifically it's an abortion that happens.
Uh-huh.
And you had the conservative person on the same panel say, nope, that's not what it is.
That's
we
not
We don't
abortion,
consider that an abortion.
No.
It's
yeah,
not the same thing.
I do remember that.
But it literally is the same thing. It's quite literally the same thing. And of course, this bill is not going to pass the Democratic Senate. It wouldn't get signed by Joe Biden because it's complete nonsense. But I think it is notable that the first real big piece of legislation to pass the GOP House is one that tries to attack abortion rights on non-existing grounds.
Like, this is the big issue that they were focusing on.
Yeah, it's this. This was the first thing.
Yeah.
It's the classic make up an issue and then propose a solution that does nothing but harm other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's really all it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's some House news for you all. That's Kevin McCarthy's first act as Speaker.
Let's go.
He's doing that. But now we have an even bigger issue on the horizon.
Biden banning gas. Now we're cooking with electric stoves?
Ugh. Whoa. That doesn't go together.
That doesn't make sense.
Cooking with electricity?
Now I'm cooking with an induction burner? What?
I don't like that at all. So one of the biggest news stories this week, pushed by the right-wing media, of course, is that Biden wants to ban gas stoves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as arbiters of the truth, we're here to tell you what's right.
As someone who has a gas stove in my college apartment.
I do too.
Let's go.
That's absolutely
let's
right.
Let's go, brother. I was burning it all day.
So the question is, did Biden ban gas stoves? And the answer is, yeah, it's punishable by death now to use a gas stove. Case closed. If you turn on your burner today, the cops are going to swarm in.
I was protesting last night.
So are gas stoves being burned, and where does this controversy come from, right? Those are the questions.
Uh-huh.
So I want to explain first where it comes from. So the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which is a part of the federal government, has been doing investigations into the harmful effects of gas stoves on the health of those people using them and the health of those living in the homes, right? Because it's an appliance. And as we've known, just based on basic investigations that the government's done in the past, your appliances can be harmful.
Yeah.
And chemicals that your appliances use can be harmful. Historically, lead paint was a big thing in homes that
lead
hurt people.
Lead paint, lead in gas, something we talked about last week.
Yeah, yeah. But within gas stoves, the harmful effects that they have found, according to the report, are an increased likelihood in childhood asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Some have claimed the potential of stunted brain development for children, and also other negative respiratory outcomes for people generally.
Yeah.
And they found specifically that 13% of childhood asthma in this country can be attributed to gas stoves.
That's a lot.
That's a lot
of
people.
That's a huge number.
Hundreds of thousands of people potentially that now have childhood asthma because of gas stoves and the gases released by them. They're also generally bad for the environment, right? Mm. Just because they're gas stoves.
It's fossil fuels
now,
and shit.
The CPSC noted that, quote, everything's on the table in terms of regulating gas stoves, which conservatives took to mean Joe Biden is banning gas stoves.
I love that.
And they immediately turned it into a culture war item because right away, Republicans and conservatives lost their mind, right? Like you had Ron DeSantis tweeting the photo.
I thought that was fake.
It was real.
I thought that that was fake, and you never would have been able to convince me that it was Ron DeSantis that tweeted it until I saw it with my own eyes.
You had the don't tread on me gas stove.
It was but don't it was, tread on Florida with a picture of a fucking gas stove
with
on
the yellow and the green, yeah.
God.
And then I have a tweet here from Ronnie Jackson.
Okay.
He said, quote, "I'll never, in all caps, give up my gas stove. If the maniacs in the White House come for my stove, they can pry it from my cold, dead hands. Come and take it."
God damn. Like, so
that's brother, how Republicans
You live
reacting.
In Florida, go grill.
Yeah.
You can grill year-round.
And now, of course, Joe Biden came out and was like, "We're not banning gas stoves."
Yeah.
And the CPSC clarified, like, we're just looking for solutions in general to gas stoves and their harmful effects, so, like, chill out.
And
nobody
even,
said we're going to ban them.
Even if gas stoves were banned, it's not like they're going to go into everyone's house and do an inspection to see if you have a gas stove and make you transition away from it.
And then kill you for having
Yeah, and like, then fucking murder you and throw you in prison.
Uh-huh.
They're going to, like, just ban the sale of new gas stoves.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what that would come down to. Like, hey, we should phase this out. They would ban the sale of new gas stoves, mm-hmm. and then they would give you a tax credit if you wanted to upgrade to an electric stove.
That's the funny thing, though, is that Joe Biden has already done this.
In the Inflation Reduction Act.
In the Inflation Reduction Act, a bill that Republicans voted uh-huh. against, consumers that switch to an electric stove are eligible for up to an $850 rebate and $500 in assistance from the government to purchase an electric stove to replace their gas one.
Sounds like it pretty much covers it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's exactly what Democrats were trying to do here. And that's the thing that Republicans voted against. But it's also worthy to note that conservatives have made this like their issue, right?
Yep.
They've made this like a gas stoves for conservatives, electric stoves for liberals kind of thing. But it's interesting to note. It's interesting to note, though, that in New Jersey and in California, almost 70% of their stoves are gas. And in Florida, only 8% are gas. And in Texas, it's 38%.
If you look at like the political lines like across America, most blue states have gas stoves and most red states have electric stoves, have pussy electric stoves.
Isn't it interesting how that works?
Funny.
I saw a tweet. I don't know who tweeted this, but I saw a tweet that was like, they literally just make anything into a culture war item because this doesn't affect their constituents at all.
Yeah, no. None of the culture war items affect their constituents.
M&Ms, yeah.
It is not even M&Ms. It's the same fucking thing as drag queens.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same issue. Like, no conservatives have ever gone to a gay bar and saw a drag show.
No, because they fucking firebombed the gay bars in their local town.
Exactly.
Like, if there ever was one. Also, a lot of conservatives started coming for AOC because she does like Instagram lives, Instagram stories where she's just like talking.
Yeah.
And she did one where she was talking about the gas stoves controversy, and she was like, yeah, it's probably time to move away from gas stoves. Other countries have done this. You know, it's better for the environment, better for, you know, human health in
general.
Better
for kids.
And people came after her because it's like, because they started saying like, oh, well, you have a gas stove in your apartment. And it's like, she rents.
Yeah.
You
what
can't
the fuck
control
is she
that.
Gonna do?
if you rent and you have a gas stove, like college kids, you have no choice because you didn't design the apartment. You didn't choose the appliances.
I didn't build the infrastructure.
Yeah.
I didn't build all the gas pipelines that allowed me to have a gas stove.
It's like, I guess Republicans just ran out of things to fearmonger about this week. Because this and M&Ms is what I saw the most.
It's all protect the children until they get asthma.
Yeah.
Until they can't fucking breathe.
Because like, you'll have scientific evidence come out supporting the idea that some appliance or something that we commonly use is hurting kids or hurting human health in some way. And they just completely reject it. They're like, I'm turning on my gas stove and fucking snorting the fumes.
Exactly.
Swear to God.
They come out and tell you, this is big government overreaching into every little aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to control what stove you use to cook your family dinner. I'm sorry, what stove your wife uses to cook your family dinner?
Let's do the Stop Woke Challenge, where you turn on the gas, but not the flame, and light a match in your house.
Yeah, you know, woke indoctrination has taken so much from us. Now I can't have lead in my gas.
Uh-huh.
Now I can't smoke inside my house.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't fucking have a gas stove. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go put lead in my gas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn on my gas stove and never turn the burner on. And then I'm going to light a cigarette in my house.
And I'm taking my kid to Chernobyl
and
right
now. That'll show the liberals.
No, it's like we would never have gotten lead out of paint if conservatives were like this all the time.
Jesus Christ. And it's funny, my favorite bit to come out of this is the Tucker Carlson. obviously ran a segment about this.
Naturally.
Because this is infinitely easier to get away with than fuckable M&Ms.
Nowadays, yeah. You just can't fuck M&Ms like you used
to. God, you can't talk about fucking M&Ms on live TV like you used to be able to.
Real.
We really degraded as a culture.
Uh-huh.
This is a cultural degradation from what we once were.
I can't
make
use
America
my gas
great
stove.
Again.
I can't fuck M&Ms.
Anyway, my favorite soundbite to come
a
from
kid's
that
candy.
Is him saying, we've been using gas stoves for over 100 years, and now you're trying to tell me they're unsafe? Yes.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. That's all it is. 13% of childhood asthma. That's a lot. That's a significant percent defined from this study.
Well, it's like a while ago, we discovered that some of the chemicals that were being given off from like refrigerators, laundry machines, that kind of thing, were tearing a hole in the ozone. And we fixed it by getting rid of those chemicals in our everyday appliances and things like that. It took a while because, you know, capital interest and stuff like that. But by getting rid of these things, we improve humanity and the earth and just living in general for everybody.
That's all it takes. Like, while we found out benzene is a carcinogen, so we got rid of it in our products. We find out a chemical is a carcinogen, and we take it out of our products.
Isn't that crazy?
That's all that it is.
I swear.
It's simple as, brother.
Like, we would still be, like, eating fucking putrid if they let us.
We would still be eating off of plates that were painted with lead paint.
Uh-huh.
With lead paint.
Yeah.
Like all the Victorians did.
Yeah, I get it. Just another example of Republicans just lying, making something up.
So funny.
Because, like, who would, like, even practically, Joe Biden's not going to ban gas stoves.
Oh, yeah. What's he going to do?
Also, like, even if he did, like, how would that practically be enforced? They're going to bust into your house? Like, that's what they'd want you to believe.
They're going to bust into your house and take your gas stoves. Yeah. They're going to take your gas stoves, and then they're going to audit you with the IRS.
Joe Manchin released a statement about the gas stoves.
Really?
And he was like, considering banning gas stoves at this time is, like, ridiculous or something. And he was like,
of course, Joe Manchin.
He was like, we could never get rid of my gas stove at my house that my family and I cook on every night. And it's like, dog, shut the fuck up.
Of course, shut the fucking oil owner guy,
yeah.
The coal mine owner, whatever the fuck he owns, is like, yeah, I'll never get rid of fossil fuels, baby. My kids love playing with those little dinosaurs.
I just really love my gas stove. I have no other interest that is getting me to say this right now.
Hey guys,
nobody is giving me money.
The gas stove just cooks
this.
Better. It really does. It just cooks better.
Yeah, so that's goofy. That's a goofy little story for
Incredibly.
You all. But if you thought we were done talking about Joe Biden, you're wrong.
No.
Because we got to talk about Joe Biden being a fucking thief.
Real.
Stealing.
Being a liar and a cheater.
Because a recent news story came out about Joe Biden doing almost the same thing that Donald Trump did.
Yes.
Stealing documents. Stealing
Crazy.
Classified materials.
And just like what we said when we were covering Trump stealing classified documents, go ahead and investigate him.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want.
So to give you guys some more context, a story just came out about, I think last week at this point, about Joe Biden taking Obama-era documents to various places after he was vice president and still having them at his, it was in an office and at his Wilmington home until this day. And the knee-jerk reaction from liberals has been obviously to dismiss it immediately.
Yep.
The knee-jerk reaction from conservatives has been to say, like, you know, he's doing treason or fucking whatever. And it's certainly not as bad as when Trump did it for a variety of reasons.
Like,
but
literally. It's literally the materials that are here are not as bad. Trump had boxes of documents that he explicitly unloaded from the White House and brought to his Mar-a-Lago home that he lied about having multiple times to various federal authorities.
Exactly.
Joe Biden, I think, had like 5 in one house and 5 in another.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, okay, here you go, take them back.
Yeah, so Biden's lawyers found them. I don't know how. I guess they were just like moving stuff or
looking around
whatever. Looking around so the Biden's lawyers found Obama era documents in two places. First, it was an office in some think tank that he worked for in Washington, like the Biden Pen something.
Oh, sick.
It was something stupid, some like NGO, I don't know, but they found documents there. And then they looked in his Wilmington home in Delaware and found more recently in December, and I think just a few days ago, which is why the story is big now. And then as soon as they found them, they turned them over to the National Archives. The DOJ launched an investigation and they said they're cooperating. Like, that's all it is. And it's important to note that the National Archives were not requesting these documents beforehand.
No.
They just found them and gave them back.
It was like, oh, here you go.
Whereas with Donald Trump,
we shouldn't have these.
The National Archives was requesting and requesting and requesting, and Donald Trump gave back some, but not all that they were requesting. So then they did the FBI raid. And it's like, at the same time, if the National Archives is like, oh, Biden didn't give them all back, then do an FBI raid. I don't
do
care.
Do it, please. Actually, I'm pro that.
You know how funny that would be?
That would be hilarious.
That would be so funny. That would be so funny.
If you busted into Joe Biden's home.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Now, obviously, this story is important. You know, stealing documents should be treated seriously.
Real. You shouldn't do that.
But what's more important is optics. Because that's what we care about.
Absolutely.
I care about how this is going to be interpreted in the public eye. I don't care about the crime. You know what I mean? I encourage crime. Take as many documents as you want.
Pro-crime.
Obviously, many Republicans have taken to calling Democrats hypocritical and saying that they need to now launch a House investigation into the mishandling of documents. McCarthy said he wants a full investigation in Congress. And again, it's like, do it then.
And it's also crazy because, like, yeah, some Democrats are being hypocritical.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because they're spineless.
For sure. They're definitely being hypocritical in some context. And I think it's just... It's so annoying because this is one of the reasons that people get turned off from politics is because the two parties sometimes will do the exact same thing to each other. And it's like, okay, there was legitimate concerns with Donald Trump hauling off hundreds of documents, potentially nuclear secrets to his home in Mar-a-Lago, and maybe showing guests that show up to impress them. That the real concern, and that should be investigated. And there's also a smaller concern with Joe Biden stealing some documents, or not maybe not stealing, just taking.
Just having, some like, documents. While he was vice president and leaving them there.
And then eventually giving them back after several years once they finally turned up again. Like, that can be investigated. Investigated as well, but it's just annoying to see that neither side, well, I guess it's less so with the Joe Biden stuff, but neither side will just be like, okay, yeah, that's bad behavior.
Yeah, they
in both
won't
versions.
Own up to it.
Exactly.
It's like, in a lot of ways, Democrats are just the same as Republicans. A lot of Democrats are just as reactionary as conservatives are, just not in ways that I guess, like, just explicitly hurt people.
Yeah, and there's not as many Democrats defending Biden's mishandling of documents as there were conservatives defending Trump and the FBI raid.
It's also just not a big story.
It isn't.
Like, it's not that huge of a thing. It's only huge because of how many conservatives are crying
about it. Well, and had Trump not been raided however many months ago, this wouldn't even be on the radar.
No.
Maybe it'd be like a two-day story. But now it's front page of basically every publication. And there's been multiple stories written about it with some journalists not even outlining how it's different. And the thing that gets me is it's just like, okay, Republicans want to say that Joe Biden mishandling documents is bad. Fine.
Real.
I agree.
Do
your investigation.
True and real and good.
But why can't you say the same about Donald Trump doing something that should be considered the same in your eyes if Democrats are being hypocritical here?
No, because they still stand by how Trump, like, rightfully could have those documents.
Yeah.
Because he declassified them in his mind before he took them.
What if Joe Biden declassified these in his mind after he got to the White House and became president?
Yeah. What if Joe Biden pardoned himself right now?
It's just, it's all fucking hypocrisy. And Democrats aren't doing it as bad because there's been plenty of Democrats that have come out and said, Biden shouldn't have done that. Investigate it if you want to. Nina Turner specifically, actually, she might not be elected anymore. I don't know. There's been several Democrats I've seen come out specifically say, like, oh, yeah, fine, investigate Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. Or they've just been saying at least, like, this isn't great. Like, we should treat this, you know, just as we would anybody else. But it's just, it's so annoying because this is the exact reason why people are like, oh, politics is dumb.
Yeah, they're all the same. They're all bad and corrupt and lame.
Yeah, because something that should be important is being treated again as a culture war issue. Mm-hmm. Something to own the libs or own the
just
conservatives.
Just to get some political points that it's like, no one really cares about this. And it's, hate to say it, Matt Gaetz had, like, the only good tweet I've ever seen come out of him. Yeah, Matt Gaetz, a known sex trafficker, Matt Gaetz, which that's all swept under the rug now, so I wonder what happened with that one. But anyway, he, like, tweeted something, I think, like, 2 days ago that was, like, things my constituents don't care about. Trump stealing documents, Biden stealing documents, thing my constituents do care about. Inflation, the cost of eggs, and I'm like, all right, yeah, this is actually a good tweet, low-key.
Yeah.
Like, why is Matt Gaetz the one who's, like, not being a good force in the Republican Party right now, but, like, actually challenging the Republican Party in a way that is somewhat good sometimes?
Because he can say that because the Republican Party's not actually going to do any
and of they're the
things.
Ones in power right now.
Because think about it, right? Republicans across the country that ran in the House to eventually get control of the House, they all ran on gas prices are too high, inflation's out of control, we need to bring all of that back. The first bill they introduce is about abortion.
Yeah.
They don't introduce a bill about gas prices or inflation or anything like that.
Like, because, like, yeah, conservatives have the power in the House right now, but they don't have the Senate. They don't have the presidency. There's nothing that they can actually meaningfully get done.
It's going to be all messaging,
So they can all just say, we really care about inflation. Mm-hmm. And look at the Senate and look at the Democrats in the Senate and look at Joe Biden not wanting to do anything about mm-hmm. this. But I want to do a lot about this.
Yeah, because like now would be the time to bring up your inflation bills if you have so many fucking uh-huh. ideas that you want to introduce. But of course, they will at some point bring up a bill to yeah. Quote unquote address inflation.
They
but
will
it's gonna
at
be
some point bring up a bill to bankrupt the United States
yeah.
because they don't want to raise the debt ceiling anymore.
They're going to say either we completely privatize Social Security and Medicare or we default on our loans. Like, that's up to you, Joe. Pick one.
Pick one. Come on.
Like, that's their platform right now. That's what Republicans want to do. But instead, they can hide behind culture war issues like the M&Ms thing, which is less congressional, but more just cultural.
Yeah.
They can hide behind that. They can hide behind the Joe Biden documents. They can hide behind the gas stoves. And it protects them from ever actually having to address real issues like inflation, mm-hmm. things that actually hurt people.
Things that actually help my constituents. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, he can distance himself from this now.
Yeah.
But he also realizes that everyone else is going to cover this for him. So he can step yeah. back and take the optical win here.
Yeah.
And Lord knows Matt Gaetz needs optical wins
oh,
after
desperately.
Being a sex trafficker.
I don't know if he can get enough optical wins to dig himself out of that hole.
I think he already did.
Oh, really?
I think he already did for, like, regular people.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a huge story when it first came out. Like, it came and went in the span of, like, 2 weeks.
Fuck, I'd love to see that guy get arrested. That shit would be hilarious.
I'd love to see his home get raided.
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness.
A man can hope. The woke FBI needs to go after him.
For real. But even, like, speaking about optics, right, I want to get into my little, like, speculation mood. Not
okay.
tinfoil hat, necessarily, but some speculation. I feel
you
like...
You going to put some money on these predictions? Are we gambling?
I could put maybe a couple dollars on this prediction. Because
okay, nice.
I feel like it's likely
a couple of the dollars we earn from our patrons
exactly.
that loyally subscribe on our Patreon
I'll put
account.
$671 on this prediction.
Yeah.
I think that conservatives are going to use Biden having documents from like the 2008 White House, 2008 to 2016 White House, as fuel in the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Oh, for sure.
I think they are absolutely going to say, how do we know that these classified documents
oh.
don't pertain to Ukraine and Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's illegal business dealings?
No, absolutely. That's what it's going to be.
Exactly.
Like,
money on it.
In reality, there's maybe, what, 24 documents, right?
Yep.
There's definitely not hundreds like there
Tops.
Was with Donald Trump. But they're absolutely going to say, oh, it was in your Wilmington home next to your Corvette. This is something Joe Biden admitted in his garage.
Yep.
He said the documents were locked next to my Corvette, protected in the closed garage. It's not like people saw them. They're going to say, oh, but Hunter Biden has access to this home, doesn't he?
Oh!
They're going to do this. Like, it's play is predictable.
That is something that is going to happen when they launch their congressional committee to investigate Hunter Biden's penis.
Yeah, I hope it's named.
I hope so.
The cock committee, if
the
you will.
The cock committee.
Can't wait for that one. I think that closes out the section on Joe Biden,
that
though.
That does. Now to talk about some hard legislation. There's been
okay.
cocked hard, you know, there's a flow to it.
Yeah,
just
okay.
like there's been a flow to this episode,
it was
right?
a smooth segue.
Like,
seamless.
Like, we started with the M&Ms, pure culture war.
Yeah, sex, cock, fuckable.
Sex, cock, fuckable. Things I think about all the time, right?
My three favorite things, yeah.
Especially one of those things. And then we move into gas stoves, like also very high on the culture war scale.
Okay.
More legislation. Then we get into like sort of more legislative things dealing with House committees, still like lower on culture war.
Mm-hmm.
And now, bam, Senate legislation. Come on now, let's go. Hit me with it.
You got Senate legislation or
no,
I got Senate legislation?
No, not Senate. I'm just throwing words out there.
Oh, got you. Okay.
But now it's like it's policy, immigration news.
That's right. We do got to talk a little bit about immigration. But first, the first thing I have to do
okay.
before I dive into my stats on immigration is I got to admit I was wrong. For the first
Humble
time.
Humble ourselves for the first time.
For the first time in Hito history, I was wrong on this issue. Last week, we were
it's
talking about abortion. Or not abortion. Well, we're talking about abortion this week. It gets all mixed up.
Real.
We were talking about immigration last week in terms of what Joe Biden and the Republican House is going to be able to do. And Republicans always, you know, fearmonger about immigration and say millions of people are coming into the country. And last episode, I kind of dismissed that. I was mm-hmm. like, there's not millions of people coming into
it's
the
like
country.
Millions, that's a lot. That's a big number.
I haven't seen any statistics or data to back that up. But after the episode, I did a little research. And I found out that what they're saying, the words they've been saying, is something like 2 million have been coming into the country.
Okay.
Which is sort of correct, but it's imprecise. For a few reasons.
All right.
Now, in 2022, there was 2.76 million border encounters with undocumented immigrants.
Ah.
And encounters means migrants trying to cross illegally, but encountering Border Patrol and getting sent back, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the number they've been using to say 2 million. I thought it was completely baseless and they made it up. Turns out there's some kind of base in it, but it's not. They're skewing data. They're
I
misrepresenting
guess.
Data.
Sounds good, you know?
But there's a couple nuances here. So 2.76 million didn't come into the country. Really, the numbers in 2022 were around 1 million, 1.2 million that were processed. That were
millions
in. Yeah.
Have come in. Okay. All right.
So it was around 1.2 million that were actually brought into the country, which I think is relatively normal, but a bit higher than previous years because countries like Venezuela and Nicaragua are under a lot of political turmoil right now. And that has a lot of people fleeing north into the United States because the United States is, while not perfect, a lot more stable than their countries are. So that
maybe,
would that accounts for the
increase.
Maybe
some people will flee from Brazil after they attempt another coup, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And the third nuance here is that a lot of migrants that make crossing attempts do so multiple times.
Yeah, because they're not going to go all the way back to Nicaragua.
Exactly, which bumps up the number artificially, which means that the number of unique people, individual people trying to cross the border is probably less than that 2.76 million
just
number.
Is less than.
So again, it's just another example of Republicans kind of misrepresenting data, and it hardly means that immigrants are like flooding into our cities or anything like that. It's just them using data that people at a glance might be concerned about to fearmonger. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of classic textbook conservative. But to really encapsulate how crazy they went about immigration,
okay,
I have a story from Arizona.
So before we get into that, I just want to emphasize how I love admitting when we were wrong, right?
Oh, it felt
just
great.
It just emphasizes how fucking right we are every other time.
Exactly.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. When have we ever corrected ourselves?
Look how humble we are.
When have we ever corrected ourselves?
Corrected ourselves like one other time.
Exactly. This ever. Episode.
Yeah.
About the Andrew Callahan stuff. That's
I remember there was one time when we first started where I thought that I said the wrong number on something and was doing research to see if I needed to correct it. And then I found out that I was more right.
Exactly. He's putting the work in.
And we covered it on the next episode.
He's putting the work in.
Ridiculous.
Extra. But again, to really encapsulate how Republicans are insane on immigration, I want to turn to Arizona. This is a story we missed from a couple of months ago.
Okay.
So back in November, Governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, got so angry about brown people immigrating to his state that he spent somewhere between $80 million and $95 million to build his own wall in Arizona.
Oh, is this the shipping container wall?
This is the shipping containers.
God
he
damn.
Spent somewhere north of $80 million to build a wall entirely out of shipping containers with barbed wire on top. Now, before we even get into a critique of how insane this is, just imagine how easy it is to get around over between shipping containers.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can do this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, shipping containers are not hard to like get through, get around.
To put a ladder on.
It's not much of a barrier.
No.
And to spend $80 million of taxpayer money on this is kind of insane.
Uh-huh.
It is kind of insane. Now, the problem for Doug Ducey, though.
That's like a whole, like, organization's budget.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the problem for Doug Ducey, though, governor of Arizona, is that he put the wall up on federal land. And for any of you that know anything about federal land versus state land, the federal government has jurisdiction over that land, which means they could just tell him to take it down. There's nothing he could do about it. They just told him, take the wall down. But in taking the wall down, Arizona had to spend another $76 million in fees to take it down because they had to pay for, you know, the people to get out there to take it down. To move it,
for
all that
labor.
Kind of stuff. So Arizona in total spent somewhere around $150 million of taxpayer money to keep immigrants out, then failed at it when this money could have been used to just find them homes and jobs.
I was just about to say this money could have been used to expedite visa processes, help them get started in this country, help them become citizens, but no.
$150 million spent on this.
Because it's like you see a lot of like man on the street interviews, like, but the left wing version, where they go and ask you about like immigration. It's like, oh, do you have a problem with legal immigration? And they always say no, it's just the illegal immigration that they have a problem with. But then they never want to push for solutions that would make it so that more legal immigration could happen.
Yeah.
Because it just boils down to racism and xenophobia.
It also ignores that the term illegal immigrant is wholly up to us to define.
Oh, for real.
Right, because it's like when Republicans, I think Steven Crowder has said this before, when he's like, 100% of illegal immigrants are criminals because they've all committed the crime of crossing the border illegally. And it's like, yeah, but that's up to how we define what an illegal immigrant is,
and
right?
And it's also not a crime like that. It's a civil infraction.
Right, exactly.
Like it is. I don't know if it was a Supreme Court's case that established it, but crossing the border, quote unquote, illegally is the same level of illegality as a speeding ticket.
Right, right. And it's like there are people born in the United States, or actually statistically, people born in the United States commit more crime than people who cross the border. But they like to say people who cross the border all committed crime because they committed the crime across the border.
Yeah.
And it's like, The idea of the illegal immigrant in your mind is wholly up to us to define. And if we make it easier for them to get into the country, then it's not going to be as bad as people portray it to be.
Yeah, again, these lines don't exist in the world. Yeah. The status of something that's an immigrant isn't floating around in the air.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. We just made it up, and we can change it.
And we
pretty easy to change.
We don't have to use constant and omnipresent violence to enforce our border. Like, it doesn't have to be that
way. We don't
need
to declare, not a state of emergency, whatever the fuck.
We
don't need to invoke
the
invasion clause of the Constitution to fight it off. Instead of spending all the money that Greg Abbott wants to spend on gunboats to discourage abuelos from coming over, he could just help make a fucking program that would actually expedite visas, or just make it so that more visas could be made more timely by expanding the offices that do that.
Or hear me out, okay? Every state sets up like some kind of like immigration office, okay? State throughout the country. And they all communicate with each other.
And they all fight.
They don't fight. They all collaborate, and they set up some sort of transportation system where when you arrive to the country through the southern border or any border, I guess, you get one voucher and you can travel anywhere you want in the country.
Oh, Greg already got a head start on that. The infrastructure is there.
Exactly.
Greg and Ron have been working hard at this. We just need the offices.
Except your only option can't just be Martha's Vineyard. And in fact, that
wasn't Kamala Harris's house on Christmas Eve.
That wasn't really an option. That was more of you were compulsed. You were forced to do it. You had no real choice. But it would be so easy to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just imagine it right now. Just implement it. It's not that hard.
All the money that we spent on doing shit in the southern border, then you don't have to worry about the problems that you're saying are huge problems being a border state. Because you set up a situation where there's like a holding facility where they wait to be bussed off to another part of the country that they want to go. Then your border state problems are halved.
Yeah.
Conservatively.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's like, obviously, if that was in place, not everybody's going to leave. Some people are going to want to stay in your state. But if you have that set up, then it gives people the opportunity to leave. But then, of course, the problem is that they don't want any real solution to immigration, right? Because if we go to them and propose this, and they're going to say, oh, well, then you can just let criminals go anywhere in the country.
You're going to give criminals a free pass to go bust to D.C. and blow up the fucking White House?
Exactly. And then we're going to say, oh, why do you think they're criminals? And then they're going to say something like, oh, well, they're coming from criminal countries. They're human
traffickers.
They're
going to say everyone who wants to cross the border is a criminal.
And eventually, we just get to the axiomatic belief that they just are racist.
They just don't like brown people.
And that's the fundamental difference here, is that if they don't believe that everybody, regardless of skin color, should be treated equally, regardless of where they came from, should be treated equally, then we don't have any real grounds to collaborate. There's no solution to be found because they just don't believe the same things that we do. land of the free, land of opportunity.
That's right. That's land of opportunity, the American dream, right?
Yeah, yeah. That closes out my section on immigration. I guess just some extra news stories we can throw in there. We didn't do our due diligence of being the number one geopolitical podcast this week.
We didn't. There was an attempted coup in Brazil.
Yeah, they did an attempted coup at their very modern-looking capital that the Chapo Trap House boys compared to a Macy's.
I was watching. I was listening to that Chapo episode on my way down here to record today. It was a good time. I like how they have their own QAnon shaman.
Yeah.
That was the funniest part to me that I saw. Like, when everything was going down, I saw the pictures of him compared to the pictures of ours, and I was like, damn.
It's the same.
We really inspired this.
I know some people were saying that, like, Brazilians are just like Americans, but, like, in South America.
Uh-huh.
It's just the same. Like, they act the same. They are the same. They have the same type of hogs and conservatives that we do.
Yeah.
And now they have their own January 6th, but instead it's January 8th. I'm just saying, get your own flow.
That's so funny. And it's also funny how, like, wasn't as good.
Yeah. Well, and because nobody was there. It was a Sunday. And the president was somewhere else.
He was in Florida.
Well, no, Jair Bolsonaro was in Florida.
Lula.
The one that was just elected wasn't there at the Capitol. I don't think any of the legislators were
bit
there.
Bit of
at the
a
Capitol.
Freudian slip on my part there. The president Bolsonaro, guys, maybe I'm pro-coup.
You were there organizing?
Yeah, I was actually a part of this.
Yeah, Jair Bolsonaro was being a Florida man in Florida.
No,
just
that was
out.
Crazy because he had to go to the hospital. He was on pack watch for a little bit.
Bro's been in the hospital so many times.
Hell yeah.
He's the sickest man ever, I think.
It's crazy. He's on pack watch.
So, that coup in Brazil. And there was somebody at the coup attempt that was selling cotton candy. Just like the dude selling t-shirts, the MAGA t-shirts. People are making money.
Dude, that's so cool.
And I respect the grind.
Personally. I do. Honestly, I would do that. Yeah, I would go and sell like MAGA t-shirts to like a crazed crowd like that. Because like the bag opportunity is crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. The ROI is insane.
Oh my God, I know. Like, especially like you go and you order from like Teespring.
Yeah.
Those shirts are so cheap. Made with the worst labor.
Yeah. with the Brazil coup though, I know Lula came out, he did a pretty good speech where he was like, yeah, we're cracking down on this. Uh-huh. Like nobody's gonna be treated kindly. Like you're a traitor to the country,
et
cetera.
He came out and he said,
which is hard.
B is for Brazilian, not Bolsonaro.
Oh no. Just like Hakeem Jeffries. No.
C is for come together. Not cool.
No way. Oh man, that's a deep cut. That's not good. That shit was so corny. Oh my God, the Hakeem Jeffries.
I can't
speech.
Believe we
no.
forgot to talk about that last week.
So corny. We should have recited
M,
that.
What did he say? M is for something, not Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's the Brazil coup attempt, though. There's also in the news more lies that surfaced about George Santos, yep. who apparently it's not even his name.
Really?
Some people, okay, I think this is like either a part of his name or used to be a part of his name that he changed or something like that. But apparently there's a video that surfaced from several years ago where he was going by Anthony DeVolder.
And he's at like a gay thing, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Isn't it like a... fuck, I thought it was a gay thing.
I think it was some conference. I don't know.
Not
gay
like,
conference.
Not like gay... Yeah, was that some gay conference? Gay
like the M&Ms. Gay as conference.
Not gay as like a pejorative,
yeah.
but genuinely a gay... genuinely a gay, like, meeting.
Really digging that hole pretty deep. Anyway, more lies about George Santos. We don't know who this fucking guy is. Social chameleon, I guess.
There's been other things that came out this week about... Something new comes out about him every week, I swear to God. Last week we found out that, speaking of Brazil, he's actually wanted in Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
God, we also found... some guy, I think his name's like Comer or something, and like the Republican GOP in the House says that they're actually looking into him for campaign finance violations to see if they can get him kicked off of his seat.
Yeah.
Six Republicans in New York, Republican House, Long Island Republicans, people who serve in the House from Long Island have called for his resignation.
Yeah.
A bunch of people in the GOP are calling for him to resign. So that's super fun. And he says he will not do it.
I think he said he would only resign if 142,000 people told me to do it. And I think that's the number that voted for him.
Yeah. He also said like, I'll resign if I lose.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess.
You have to pull my Congress seat from my cold, dead hand, just like my gas stove.
Yeah. Oh, true. And it's like, sure, I guess. Like, I'm sure he's no worse than any other Long Island Republican that would be in his seat as like a replacement in the GOP. Because don't they get to nominate like somebody? Like, wouldn't it be a Republican that fills the seat?
I don't know if it works that way. That's how it works for the Senate, is that, well, the governor appoints if there's a Senate seat vacant for a temporary amount of time. I don't know how it works for the House specifically, though. Huh. That would be something for our listeners to investigate. Google it. Figure it out on your own.
Google it. DM me. Get back with us. We'll cover it.
I'm not here to give you all the answers, okay? What am I, a fucking dictionary?
We're only two men.
What am I, the Constitution?
We're only two fucking people over here. Come on now.
I think that brings us to the end of the episode, though.
I think it does. Brings us to the end of this episode, getting ready to record the
Q&A
that's going up also today for the patrons.
That's right.
It'll be going up for y'all in like a week.
We'll
like
figure it out. Yeah, at some point, you'll see it in your feed.
Probably in like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Bonus episode at some point.
Exactly.
But first of all, we got to thank our patrons before we go. And just, you know, we got to thank our patrons that almost every time we get like a new amount of patrons that we shout out at the end of the episode, I get their name wrong at least once.
True.
And that happened.
A quick little DM like, hey, it's this, not this.
That happened last week. And then we got a DM about it. So I've corrected myself, but we've got new patrons.
LaFed, not LaFort.
Yeah. And so, I'm probably going to get some more wrong here, but that doesn't mean we thank you any less.
It's so true. That doesn't mean we love you any less. I think it means we love you more because we're trying.
We're trying so hard. The effort is there. So special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Caden Crown, Lord T, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, The B-Plot, Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Derek Messina, Dylan B. Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Meyer, Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mubari, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Ted Cruz's Boy Toy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex Bread, Joe Stenstrom, Austin Reed, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Judah Marshall, Colleen Kutch, John Barr, Timothy Espinoza, Gregory is in my name, Veryuk, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Jennifer DeVue, Big Bird Titty, Eliza, and my mom. Thank you all for supporting the show on Patreon. This list is getting pretty long.
Is that French?
I'm going to guess. It looks French.
I'm francophobic.
Me too.
Fair warning. I'm massively francophobic.
But maybe you can win us over.
Exactly. Maybe you could be like Emma and some of the other Canadian listeners who we accept here.
One of the good ones.
One of the good ones, despite them being Canadian.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Have a good one. Before you go, here's a special look at the Head in the Office Q&A.
Next question from Joe, second to last. If Kevin McCarthy and Matt Gaetz threw down that day, who are you betting on?
Kevin.
I think Kevin gets it.
Excuse me. Matt Gaetz just looks punchable and frail.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Gaetz has one thing going for him, and that's that he's a Florida man. So he's kind of just genetically
got that
more
Florida
insane.
Dog in him.
Yeah, but he also is a human trafficker. He ran from the allegations, and I think he's weak. I think deep down he's weak and insecure.
See, Kevin McCarthy, we know he has his stamina up because of the orgy allegations.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking because of that day he was mad.
Oh no, but I'm that thinking because the orgy allegations. Okay. Like, he's got his stamina. He's been training.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think he dogs on him. I think he rocks him. I think Matt Gaetz has a weak chin.
Yeah, say no member of Congress intervenes, right?
Yeah.
And they just kind of circle up and watch the fight, 1v1. I think because Kevin McCarthy's so angry and he's got the orgy juice, like, just soaking through his body.
Oh, there's lots of orgy juices.
He's ready.